Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we have honored you with our voices and our instruments. We have sang about your return, Lord. We sang about our belief in you. Now I ask, Lord, that you would anoint my lips, strengthen my voice, strengthen my lungs, Lord, to share what you've laid on my heart. Lord, I know this has been sitting for quite a while. And I ask, Lord, that you would open ears to hear. Anybody that comes across this message in the future too, Lord, that their eyes would be open to the truth. Not the veil of this world. And that if there's a hardness of heart in this church, you're the great surgeon. Cut it out. Give a new fleshly heart. I cannot do this on my own, Lord. I'm your servant. Speak. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs 4, 25 through 27 says, "Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or left. Keep your foot from evil." The title of this message is, "Keep a clear eye." Many of you know I have a love for history and the Civil War. And one of my favorite movies is the movie Gettysburg, something I watched constantly with my dad. And it's a long 3.5-4 hour movie. And I've had this title for quite some time, waiting on the Lord when to use it. And I want to kind of set the scene of this this part in the movie, because I think it'll resonate as to what I'm trying to communicate here. But this is on the eve of before the Battle of Gettysburg started, and General John Buford, who's of the Union Cavalry, has scouted and now seen the Confederate Army. And as he's sitting there on the eve of battle, he starts to talk to his colonel, and he says, "You know what's going to happen here in the morning?" And the colonel says, "Sir?" And General John Buford said, "The whole damn Reb Army is going to be here. They're going to move through this town. They're going to occupy these hills on the other side. And when our people get here, Lee will have the high ground, and there'll be the devil to pay. The high ground. Meade will come in slowly, cautiously, new to command. They'll be on his back from Washington, wires hot from the messages, attack, attack. And so he will set up a ring around these hills. And when Lee's army is all nicely entrenched behind fat rocks on the high ground, Meade will finally attack. And if he can coordinate the army straight up the hillside out in the open in that gorgeous field of fire, we will charge valiantly and be butchered valiantly." And he takes his hat off and he rubs his head and he's looking at the colonel and he says, This is part of what I'm trying to communicate. He says, "Devin, I've led a soldier's life, and I've never seen anything as brutally clear as this. It's as if I can actually see the blue troops in one long, bloody moment going up a long slope to the stony top, as if it were already done. Already a memory, an odd set, with a stony quality to it, as if tomorrow has already happened and there's nothing you can do about it. You know, the way you sometimes feel before an ill-considered attack, knowing it'll fail, but you can't stop it. But you must even take part." And he says, "We have 2,500 men." And he says, if we can hold the ground, we can hold the high ground. And we can keep and have a chance to win this fight that's coming." And so he tells the soldiers to post the cannons, and the military are on the top. And he says, "You know, the last line he says, The Rebs will hit us just about first light. And here it is. Keep a clear eye. Let's have the pickets give us a good warning. All right, gentlemen, let's get posted. And that part about knowing what's ahead, it's as if I can see it happening. And Bible prophecy allows us to do that. It gives us insight where then we can be. Remember, we are the resistance. The Holy Spirit inside us, we are the resistance to this world. And we're to keep a clear eye, the pickets, to give warning to what's ahead. Keeping a clear eye, just as Buford said, to keep a clear eye, to keep your eyes open, to trust in the Lord, and to warn others, and to hold the high ground until the reinforcements come. Can you feel that? Do you understand it? His 2,500 men had to hold the ground until the rest of the Union army came. There's a parallel there. Do you understand? And because we live in strange times. We live in strange times. And I know, just as many of you have communicated to me, where you feel like the world is suddenly quite heavy on you. And I do believe, much like 2023, that 2024 is not going to be an easy year. The Lord will continue, the world itself will continue to darken. And the signs of the Lord's return are ramping up exponentially. And these will not lessen, but they will increase, just as wickedness in the world will increase. Paul clearly stated that in the last days, 2 Timothy 3, 12-13. He said, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Not might be, will be. Evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Because the world is a mess. It's a mess. And Satan seems to be winning until we read what God tells us in his word, what the world will be like in these days, and then also how it's all going to end, right? It's gonna appear darkest, and then light is going to come. But the world right now is of great void of leadership. I was talking to my friend this week at the dinner table, my buddy Carlos, the colonel in the Air Force, and he talked very much about that. The void of leadership. The world is craving a leader with all the answers to all its problems. And we see governments and leaders that are really being demonically deceived by all sorts of pressures. There's movements, geopolitical movements, massive movements, and in turn, there's deception to the people itself. And great is the mystery of lawlessness that is already at work. And this deception can overtake those who are sleeping in the church. That song we sang, Jesus is coming soon, even so come, right? It says, wake up the saints. Many are falling asleep at the wheel rather than being watchmen on the wall. And I'm afraid many will not realize what is happening until destruction is at the door. A few months back, you remember I preached on King Belshazzar? You remember? He was feasting and he had all his supplies and the army was at the door. The enemy was at the gate. And Daniel tells him he's been weighed in the balances and found wanting. How foolish he was for feasting and not recognizing the truth of the time. And the reality is darkness is spreading over this earth and evil men are making plans that lead to destruction. And evil people have always conspired against the righteous. That's actually in Psalm 37:12. The wicked plots against the righteous and gnashes his teeth at him. Isn't that interesting that they already are gnashing their teeth at him? Yeah. Isn't that what their eternal destiny is? Yeah. Gnashing? Good practice, huh? My question is, why then do the majority of people doubt that that happens today? Why is there doubt? Why do so many believers deny that there's an apparent deadly intent in the agendas that are being forced down our throat today? And I'm not just talking about physical. I'm talking about a spiritual death. I am talking about eternal punishment. Because who's the ruler of this world? Who's the God of this world? Satan. He's the father of lies. He seeks to kill, steal, destroy, devour. And he wants to destroy you because he hates God and he hates God's creation. He hates the sons and daughters of God. He hates you. But Scripture says there's going to be birth pangs. Bible prophecy gives us signs to be looking for. Are these birth pangs not foreshadows of the magnitude of what is to come on this earth? The signs are the signs of the times in which we live are everywhere for those with eyes to see, spiritual eyes to see. And for naysayers, I say, how can you not see the fulfilling of biblical prophecy everywhere you look around this world? It's not one little thing. It's a multitude of things. How can you not see the signs pointing to the time of Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel, or the tribulation period, if you want to call it that? How can believers today miss the multitude of warnings that what's coming at this world is mad chaos, and it's like a diesel locomotive that's lost its engineer. Except for he hit it full speed before he jumped off the train. It's either ignorance of biblical of Bible prophecy, or it's a spiritual blindness that stems from a love of the things the world has to offer. It's one or the other. And I know if you've been listening here, it shouldn't be blindness to prophecy. Can you not see the soon arrival of God's wrath upon America and this world? It's called living on borrowed time. Because the world is a Romans 1 society. Romans 1 society. And he has been exceedingly patient, but he is allowing those, that's what happens with Romans 1, he allows them to be turned over to a debased mind, a reprobate mind, where truth can't be processed anymore. But he's waiting for more people to turn to him before he pours out his great wrath. But I also know that the watchman is accountable for warning the people, so that blood is not on their hands, which makes me question this. How can pastors not see the signs of the times or ignore them as a result, not providing those they're in charge over with the hope they desperately need in perilous times, the warning they need in perilous times? Listen, even if it was wrong, which it's not, but even if it was, wouldn't it be more prudent to warn? When I was reading an article months back with Jonathan Bretner, and he talked about 12 signs of running out of normal. And as I watch events unfold across the world, and I have warned from this pulpit, and I feel like we have a great privilege and a responsibility, this little church that is small in number, mighty in the Lord, mighty in the Spirit, right? We have this great opportunity to warn as many people as possible that he's getting ready to pour out his wrath on the rebellious humanity. And there's going to come a day when the signs of the end times really do become a reality to all. Only then it's going to be too late for many. Too late. One of the signs itself, as it, you know, sharing from this article and then adding extra notes to it, the first one that is noticeable, we know this, is the super sign, which is the rebirth of Israel. Okay, the clock really started at this point. In 1948, the existence of the nation of Israel is truly miraculous and a sign that should be evident to all believers. Unfortunately, many close their eyes to the reality of this fulfillment of Bible prophecy. How can people not recognize this unfolding miracle And Dr. David Reagan is cited in this article, the founder of Lion and Lamb Ministries. It says, the Christian leaders of the mainline denominations laughed at these literal interpretations and boldly asserted that Israel would never exist again. This is pre-1948. Once the state of Israel became a reality in 1948, these same Christian leaders began to argue that it was just an accident of history and not a fulfillment of prophecy. What's old is new again. Do you kind of see that today? This is spiritual blindness and is very sad, since it has resulted in the average Christian knowing nothing about the significance of the reestablishment of Israel as a miraculous fulfillment of Bible prophecy and a sure sign of the Lord's soon return. How can people not see God's hand in the fulfillment of prophecy in what happened in May of 1948, particularly stemming out of what happened in World War II with the Holocaust? There's no other account of a people scattered and persecuted for 2,000 years suddenly becoming a nation again with their same language. Isaiah 66 verse 8 predicted that Israel would become a nation in exactly the way it happened. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall a land be born in one day? Shall a nation be brought forth in one moment? That's what happened in one day, the nation fulfilled. Sadly, those who regard the emergence of Israel as an accident of history are the very ones that ridicule those of us who see biblical prophecies coming to life today. There is also a lie going around right now, and there's a movement that those in Israel today are imposters. They're not the real Jews. Again, reprobate minds. And there is a desire to build their temple. In fact, the Bible says there will be a temple in Jerusalem during Daniel's 70th week, and the nation of Israel intends to construct that as soon as possible. All the things are ready. In fact, they just finished, within the last couple of years, a high-speed rail from Tel Aviv to the Temple Mount. And it's able to carry animals for future sacrifices. Also, we know that there are red heifers ready to be sacrificed for their ashes, right? And the Temple Institute has all the things ready to construct the temple. They now have Levites practicing the practice of sacrifice. They have gone through that. They have reenacted and done these things to get ready. It's just a matter of getting the green light. And I don't know what the green light's going to be, but if you start seeing them build a temple, you better wake up. The four horsemen of the revelation, four horsemen of the apocalypse. We see those precursors all around us, right? Did we not just live through a nasty year of inflation? Just like a little taste of what that might be like. And we know that people are maxed out in their debt. We see the wars and rumors of wars all over the place. The emergence of digital currencies. We know CBDCs are in the works, right? 110 countries. And when fully implemented, it will enable central authorities to regulate all income and spending. And the elimination of cash is a necessity to usher in or have the ability to enforce the mark of the beast. How else could the Antichrist control all commerce if people can still use cash or a proxy outside of it? In addition, digital health passports. This is another avenue through which those who seek to gain control over the lives of everyone on the planet, this initiative has been picking up every day. We see that in the EU. We see it through the WHO. And when fully in place, these passports are going to be tied together with CBDCs, which leads to the mark of beast technology. Concerning the arrival of a one-world government, author and speaker Pete Garcia says this, "Finally, we can see the final beast system starting to take form. It is using the crisis of health and money to steer the world into a biometric digital currency that will one day be used to control all buying and selling on the planet. At this point, it's becoming violently obvious as to where this is all heading. Those who have eyes to see can see this, right? In fact, One would have to be intentionally ignorant of Bible prophecy to purposefully ignore what is happening and where it is headed. See Revelation 13, 16 through 18. And even non-Christians are starting to identify much of this stuff as having prophetic importance. 25 years ago, it would have been impossible to enforce the mark of the beast. Do you understand that? You would need a lot of manpower to try to enforce something worldwide. But advances in artificial intelligence, huge database of information, the power is in the data. And 5G technology, it's now someone can aggregate all of that information and set controls and parameters inside it. So the system has to be in there. It's not like an antichrist will come and then he's going to put it in. The system's going to be in there and then he's going to be able to step in and then use it. This is one is very important. Transhumanism. Just as Satan tried to change humanity in the days of Noah, i.e. the Nephilim, he's at it again. There's a race of singularity. Jared Kushner, in an interview in the past year, said he believed he or his children. He said, I need to take care of myself exercising because I believe that either my generation or my children's generation will be the ones that will live forever. Elon Musk has talked about open AI and controlling life. Ray Kurzweil has talked about living forever. How many of you know of open AI? Sam Altman. Okay, Sam Altman is looking to create immortality. You can look this up for yourself. Look up what they say. It's not conspiracy theory. They're actively saying these things. So my question is, if you think about the lie, surely you won't die. The soon arrival of one world governance. The leaders in this world are increasingly vocal about their desire to subject the world to a centralized regime where you will own nothing and be happy. In fact, the leader of that so-called group has bragged about how they have infiltrated cabinets and positions of political powers with their own people. Again, you can put your head in the sand and say it's not happening. It is happening. It is happening. We just saw in September of 2023, the UN just reaffirmed their goals, their plans of sustainable developmental goals, and they want to unify all these things by 2030. I don't know if it's going to be 2030 or not. But maybe there's a crash that allows it to happen. Elon Musk wants to do UBI, Universal Basic Income, because people aren't going to work. That's the whole purpose of AI. There's not going to be any reason for that, which leads you to the other person. You've all know Harari. If you don't know who he is, he's a think tank, also part of the World Economic Forum. But he's the one that says, you know, I really don't know what to do with all these people, but you know, maybe just drugs and video games can occupy them. He's also the one that said AI will rewrite the Bible so that it's the basis of a religion that's correct. A new Bible for a new religion sounds a lot like Revelation 17. And we certainly see the religions of worship of the earth itself, the creation, right? Mother Earth, this whole climate and warning and climate control. In addition to your scoffing, right? Scoffing is also a sign of the time. Scoffing, right? If you believe in the Lord's return and that we're living in biblical end times, you probably know about scoffing, especially if you talk about it. And the intensity of the mocking is going to continue both inside and outside the church because there's going to be more terror sown inside it. And we also see the perilous times on steroids. I'm not trying to like be a downer here, but I'm just telling you the signs so you can communicate these things. It is clear that shrink, if you know that term, in the retail industry is on the rise. And it's starting to have a material impact on business performance. The retail industry had $93.1 billion in losses in 2021. In 2022, it was $112 billion in losses, which will be very interesting to see what 2023 ends up looking like. As you see kind of the flash mobs kind of go, we've seen it even at Oak Brook Mall right here.
Yeah.
It's lawlessness on a scale you haven't seen before. In addition to all the violence. And then last is deception. Deception. And this is, you need to take heart most of all, because Jesus and the Apostle Paul warned that deception would greatly increase in the last days. Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 3-10, we see lawlessness and deception as signs that would mark the appearance of the Antichrist. And how can we not recognize that there's deception in this day? The leaders have been caught lying continuously in a lie, and they just deny it. The mainstream media is numbing people and Christians to the truth, making them unable to recognize the dangers that lie at their doorstep. And it hasn't even reached a tipping point. What's 2024 for America? It's an election year. We haven't even scratched the surface, folks. Buckle up. Buckle up. It's going to get very real. These are just some of the signs. We could spend all day talking about these things, but these are just some of the signs pointing to the Lord's soon return. But why do so many Christians, I'm saying this now, not just outsiders, I'm saying Christians, close their eyes to these things with a hope that things are going to return to normal? Why? I don't get it. The time is now to wake up. To wake up. Lawlessness and violence will increase along with loss of freedoms. Scripture is clear what is coming. But take heart for us, beloved. The Lord knows everything. Let's get to the good stuff. Because God is sovereign. Yeah, that's all bad. But from our perspective, you know, we're seeing his patience unfold right now with a world that's gone mad. You can't even define what man and woman is. What reality is that? How is that now normal? Why is that normal? Why is Justin Trudeau now putting tampons in men and women bathrooms? How is that normal? It's not normal. And up to this point, God has been holding back this full explosion of evil and destruction that's going to happen when the day of the Lord commences. Psalm 2 says, the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing. It's vain because it's not going to work. The kings of the earth set themselves together and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Let's break their bonds in pieces and cast their cords from us. Thank God the Holy Spirit ties those cords nicely and tight. They can't be broken. He who sits in heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. Then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Because the enemy of your soul wants to throw the kitchen sink at you. That's why you need to stay focused. You need to keep a clear eye. Keep a clear eye. In Hebrews 3:1, in the Berean Study Bible, says, therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly calling, set your focus on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess, right? Hebrews 12, 1-2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. That's the part, endurance, that race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. We got joy too, folks. Joy set before him. He endured the cross. He showed us an example. Why is in the verse 1 saying, run with endurance, and then they point to Jesus, the author and the perfecter of your faith, said, who endured the cross? Yes. Die to self. The servant isn't greater than the master. What you've seen to me is possibly it's going to do to you. Peter was hung up, crucified upside down. And has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen? Our opening text, let your eyes look straight ahead. 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 Not back. Fix your gaze directly before you. Don't look left. Don't look right. Be steadfast in all your ways. Because if you're thinking about Christ, the other thoughts can't come in, right? Remember we just did the battlefield of the mind? The battle that rages for the mind, right? Bringing every thought into captivity of the obedience of Jesus Christ. Because your mind your mind could dwell on everything else but God at times, right? Mm-hmm. And that is like bad. That's a bad place to be. Yeah. It's a bad place to be. I know when my mind dwells on something besides the Lord for a long period of time, I grow very weary very quickly. Yes. Yeah. And guess what? The enemy is trying to wear you out. He's trying to wear you out. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Amen? Yes. Protect that mind. You don't become recluse. When you become recluse, you're not being salt and light. You're not being salty. Right, Julie? Listen to this. I love this. Psalm 91, verses 14 through 15. Because he has set his love, because he has focused his love upon me, capital M, that means focused on your love is focused on whom? Jesus Christ. It says, I will deliver him. And it just kind of jumped off the page. I will set him on high. I kind of see like a little bit of the Lord snatching away there. I will set him on. I will deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. True faith is keeping our eyes on God even when the world around you is falling apart. Yes. Right? Yes. I'm not saying we're immune to struggles in this life. We certainly all have been weighed down with the trials of life. Some are in it right now. But if we could just focus on God, we would understand that these things are so little compared to him. Yes. Thank you for your obedience to sharing what the Lord spoke to you. That's why he says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. He's above all. Oceans rage, mountains shake, nations raging. Yet you're told to be still and all of that. God is who he says he is. He is our shelter, our provider, our healer, our strength. And when you're focused on God in the midst of the trial, that shows a heart that trusts in the Lord. And that means you're exercising your faith. And the enemy of your soul does not like that. You need to remind yourself when you're in the midst of it that you're an overcomer. You are victor in Christ. You are victor in Christ. The gates of hell will not prevail over the church. Nothing in hell can scare a heart that trusts in the Lord. Just focus on God. Keep a clear eye. Remember going vertical, not horizontal. Don't look at your circumstances. By praying and making our petitions known to the Lord, That is exactly how we have access to him, to speak to him in our time of trouble. He'll give us grace in our time of need. That prayer life is very important. Praying without ceasing, right? We're a praying church. It's an act of worship. Stirring one another up in good works. This is so important. There are definitely moments when we all get out of tune. We all get out of focus. We are not perfect. And sometimes you need a brother or sister in Christ to kind of help you get that, give you a little kick, get yourself in order. But Scripture is clear, and this is the reason why we get together, not to forsake the assembly of the saints as you see the day approaching. Now, either Scripture says that and you believe it, or you don't. If you don't believe it, I would like the evidence on why it's not applicable to you. And then, as a result, we stir one another up in love and good works. As we put on the armor of God. We need to see the world for what it is. This world is a sin-filled place that is dark and desperate need of the light of Christ. And the darker the world is to us, the more clearly the light of Christ is and will stand out. It's not hard. If you're in a dark room and a light turns on, even if it's a match, it lights up the whole room. And it's easy to grab your focus. Even though the darkness seems to be greater, the light expels it. Do you understand? Yeah. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. If we stay focused on Christ, you will find the right perspective even as the world shifts around you. Because God is shaking the things. And as things get worse, you start to realize, kind of don't want to be here much longer. Right?
Right.
We're looking for our heavenly home. Yeah. There's a longing inside of us that wants to be with the Lord. But we need to be, you know, until then, we occupy and redeem the time. We need to renew our mind daily. That's what Romans 12 says to do. Renew your mind daily by reading his word. Replace those thoughts with God's thoughts. John 5:39 says, "You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me." Jesus Christ is the living word who became flesh. And reading his word testifies of Christ. And this brings more focus on him and who he is. That's why you replace your thoughts, because the world wants to grab your attention. The world wants your worship. It wants to weigh you down with the weights of the world. How many know the movie Scrooge or the story of Scrooge, right? You think about Jacob Marley, right? Jacob Marley, the chains of the world that he had built for himself, right? And the world just keeps paddling those on you. Yet Christ is the chain breaker for us, right? Don't get distracted in the daily grind. I know. I understand the daily grind. I get it. Don't lose your purpose. Your true purpose, worshiping in spirit and truth. Your purpose is to share the good news, to be salt and light. Your purpose is to occupy and redeem your time, because he has redeemed you. He purchased you. He paid the price. Don't squander it. Colossians 3:1-4 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory." Oh, yeah. Yes. We are to focus on the things above, remembering that Christ is seated in the place of glory and power. And the reason for the command is also given, because you have been raised to a new life with Christ. To focus on the things above, you have to remove the things of the earth, remove those things, and focus on the things above. Because you've died to self, and Christ is your life. You are hid with Christ on high. And helping us stay focused on Christ is the reminder that Jesus is coming again. And when we see him, we will be with him. When he appears, we will be with him in glory. The worse things get on the earth, the closer you are to your redemption. Okay? Look at it that way. That's a shift in perspective. It's a blessed hope. Right? It's a blessed hope. Titus 2, 11 through 13. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. God is not a man that he should lie. His word is his bond. His promises. That is hope, folks. It's hope. And hope instills courage. Psalm 31, 24. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. If you don't believe, the only hope you have is this world and the hope that man's going to make it right. And that doesn't work. Man just makes a mess of it. Go back to the garden. Made a mess. Perfect creation. God saw it was good. Good. But the truth is, tribulations and trials come in this world. Jesus said it. But I've overcome the world. There's nothing exciting about all the things that I was sharing about coming, what's coming on the earth and the signs of that, other than knowing that Christ is coming. Because men without Christ will have their hearts fail them. They will be overcome rather than being an overcomer. Don't believe the lie. And we could be looking at lean times ahead, folks. That's why Katie shared that awesome passage about Matthew 6:33, right? And the sparrows, clothed in a raiment. Our hope is for now, it's for today, and it's for tomorrow too. We're not stuck in the past hoping it would all come back. Right? We press forward looking to the high prize of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I'm sharing this because this should settle you for the days ahead. Yeah. The days ahead. The Lord of hosts is with you. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. This hope, it's a living hope. It's a living hope. It's instilled by the Spirit of God that has been put inside you, that has raised you to new life. It's a source. It's not of this world. It was before time began. He was. So as I close, it's not falling apart. Everything is right on pace. It's right on the heavenly course. It's right on track for redemption and for making a new heaven and a new earth. If you're not a believer in Jesus, then you have no hope. You got none. You got nothing, nada. Your future in the world is uncertain at best, and you have no idea what tomorrow may bring. And we are constantly reminded, as we know loved ones who have been taken and they have died suddenly out of this world, that you don't know what tomorrow will bring. Today is the day of salvation. And there's salvation in no other name than Jesus Christ. You have to decide when the gospel's there, right at that moment, make the decision to follow God, to put your hope and trust and believe in him, that he died and he rose from the grave and he's coming back again, and that he can be the Lord of your life and he can change you, make you a new creation, and that you can have eternal life for him forever, just as my pal over there, Kevin, did just a few weeks ago. It's a guarantee from God himself. An eternal promise. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you will have a reservation in heaven with your name on it. And the maitre d' can't scratch it out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father, for this word. I know it's not things in this world sometimes can be very unpleasant. But your word gives us hope. It gives us clarity to keep our eyes opened and keep our eyes clearly set on you. As the title was, keep a clear eye, Lord, that we would keep a clear eye on you and that we can warn others of what's coming on this earth. Let us be bold, just as the disciples in the upper room prayed. They prayed for boldness, Lord. Give us a holy boldness to share the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. The church said, amen. You're dismissed.